Gaslighter, denier, doing anything to get your ass farther. Hey guys, welcome back to 20-somethings podcast. I am your host, hostess with the mostest, Sarah Birch. Welcome back. If this is your first time here, hello, happy to have you. Make sure you leave a 5-star rating and review when you're all done. If it's not 5 stars, I do not want it. Thank you so much. We're going to be talking about, you guessed it, gaslighting today. And I'm going to take like a little bit of a different approach, more so than like telling personal stories. I'm going to just, I don't know, like get a little historical with it, get a little factual with it. I mean, I'll probably will throw in an anecdote or two, but I'm on this new path lately, war path of wanting to reassess the way that we misuse certain language in day-to-day culture and overuse language to the point of it losing its efficacy. I think people saw a lot of this recently with Jonah Hill and the whole boundaries situation with his ex-girlfriend. We'll probably get into that in another future episode because I want to do a whole episode on the word boundaries, what that actually means, what it should mean, what boundaries should be. I do think all of these type of things like gaslighting, boundaries, abuse, et cetera, like I haven't really talked about any of that stuff on the podcast because it's a bit darker, but I do think, unfortunately, it is a part of your 20s. It is a part of life, dealing with toxic people, toxic relationships. I mean, the word toxic in and of itself is the most overused, annoying word of all time. But today we're going to start with gaslighting, and I hope you guys find this episode interesting. Before we get into it, I just want to quickly, sorry if you can hear the train, it is really snowing out today. It's absolutely beautiful. This is like our proper first snowfall of the winter season, and it's just so peaceful and beautiful out there, although driving's going to be a bitch, shoveling is going to be a bitch. But, you know, when you're just sitting in your warm, cozy house, it's just nice to take a look outside and see the snow. But that's besides the point. So I just wanted to let you guys know a little bit of what the 411 is, what Sarah's been up to, what Sarah's listening to, what she's reading. You know, I'm a tastemaker, I'm a voice of a generation, and it is my responsibility to, you know, keep you guys abreast on what's hot, what's not. I know you guys are, like, super into it. Actually, some of you do like this, so if you don't, I would skip ahead a few minutes and we'll get right into the actual proper episode. But if you're interested in my recommendations and suggestions, then stick around for this part. I've been watching, so I finally for the first time watched American Horror Story. So I watched seasons 1 to 6, I think, and then I just kind of needed a break because it is so dark and so twisted, but like amazing shows. And really creative and really out there, something different. I do like how they pull real stories and references. I mean, obviously they embellish it and change things, but like almost every season is like tied to a real true crime event or phenomenon or whatever. I was getting a little sick, to be honest, of like the same actors in every season. Like I was a little bit over that. I mean, I guess it's good for them to be able to get consistent work and to be able to have the challenge to do all these different characters and things. But like, I just was like, okay, let's bring some fresh faces in here. That would be like my one critique. I do want to watch the Kim Kardashian season whenever it becomes available in Canada. I can't find it anywhere. If you guys know where to find it, let me know. I've also just been rewatching The Office for a little bit of levity and laughter. And then I'm also watching with my dad. It's called A Murder at the End of the World, I believe. And it was created by Britt Marling, who is an amazing director and writer and actress who created the show The OA, which came out like 7 years ago, maybe. And I loved that show when it came out. It's on Netflix. One of like the best shows I've ever seen. I know some people didn't like it, but I really love that show. And I'm really loving this show as well. It's super good. It's got a little bit of everything. It's giving like some Agatha Christie vibes with like a whodunit type of thing. Everybody in some remote scenario where they're all stuck together and trying to figure out who's the bad guy, which that's just like, you just love that formula. Like it works in a book, it works in a movie, it works, it's just always... it's classic. And then there's some true crime involved and some amateur sleuthing. It's really good. Well acted, amazing scenery. So definitely recommend that one too. The song I've been listening to a lot lately, let's see. I mean, I've been listening to a ton of Christmas music. Yeah, I don't know. I've just been hitting it up with anytime I want to play some music in the background because it's December, I'm just going to play some Christmas music. Oh, Holy Night album by John Barry. Guys, best Christmas album you will ever hear in your life. He had no business going that hard, especially Oh Come All Ye Faithful. I will pop my pussy to that song any chance I can for Jesus Christ. Oh, books. I read The Killers of the Flower Moon by David Gran, and I want to go see the movie at some point. I believe it's pretty much out of theaters now, which is kind of annoying, but also it's 3 hours long, so it's probably better to watch it at home when I can take breaks. But the book was amazing. Definitely more, it was written by journalists, so definitely more of a journalistic, factual telling of events versus some sort of escapism, fictional thing. So it depends on what you're interested in. It was kind of like a glorified textbook, and I don't mean that in an insulting way. Like, it was genuinely more interesting and more immersive than a textbook, but follows sort of the same idea of like people, facts, dates, consequences. Like, you know, it was a telling of a story, but it's a story that needs to be told. And then I also wanted to just share, oh yes, and also I'm reading In a Dark, Dark Wood by Ruth Ware. It's pretty short. It's just a thriller, like a kind of a similar whodunit thing. A bunch of girls are away on a bachelorette party and someone dies and trying to figure out who did it and all these hidden intentions and motivations. And so if you're interested in kind of like a light, easy thriller that's just super digestible and easy to follow, then I would recommend that one. And then I also wanted to share just at the end of these is just a little beauty trick or tip or product that I'm loving. This is more for the girlies. So lately I've been putting a little bit of a peach salmon color correct underneath my eyes before I put on concealer, because your girl has black bags under her eyes. I didn't used to, but I think it's just adulthood. Like, I just look like I've been punched in both my eyes when I wake up in the morning. And so I put a little bit of this like peach cream on, and I know they have different eye creams and stuff like that too that you can get that have like a peach tint to them, but it just helps with the darkness under the eyes. And then I'll put the concealer on, and I just find it makes me use less concealer. I don't know if it makes that much of a difference, but it's something that I've noticed that's helping a little bit. And I just found a cheap one from e.l.f. for like $8. And then I've also been absolutely obsessed with the Maybelline Skin Tint 24-hour, I forget what it's called. Like, I think it's just, yeah, the 24-hour skin tint or something by Maybelline, but it's gone pretty viral on TikTok and stuff. Like, all the girlies are using it, and you literally don't even need foundation. Like, it is foundation, but it feels quite a bit lighter than foundation. And it just, I think my favorite thing about it is it's so easy to spread to, I don't know if spread's the right word, to blend. I guess that's the proper makeup word. To blend into your face, into your skin. You can use a sponge, you can use your hands. Like, it's just so easy to use as a product. And it literally lasts all day. And yeah, so I definitely recommend that. I'm not sure about the shade range and stuff like that, but it's kind of expensive. I think I got mine for like $21 or $22, but I think it's worth it. I'm going to put on a little bit more of my serious newscaster reporter voice for this, because I have written a little bit of a script just to make sure I get my facts straight and everything. So if I sound a little bit different than I normally do, just know that I am putting on my serious reporter, broadcast journalist, superstar energy. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is just like my creative outlet, so I'm not used to taking myself seriously on the podcast, but I do want to start a podcast, and I'm going to kind of treat this a little bit as a test. Like, I do want to start a podcast that's more of a scripted podcast that's based more in historical fact, whether it be true crime or just crazy historical stories that nobody knows about. Like, it's just a huge passion of mine, history, true crime, that type of stuff, and I do think I have this, oh my god, I'm rambling, I'm gonna shut up. But anyway, I'm just like, this is gonna be a little different than what I normally do, and I'm just curious how it's gonna go over, and if I'm gonna, I just need to not laugh, I just need to not laugh, and not laugh. Here we go, guys. In recent years, we've all heard the term gaslighting thrown around in conversations, regardless of whether or not it's appropriate in the context. I feel like gaslighting is another one of those catchy and slightly annoying therapy words like boundaries, my truth, or triggered that have blown up in society and are commonly misused in everyday lingo. An example of this would be how many times on The Bachelor have you heard these girlies say, like, I just wanted to tell you my truth, or I just wanted to share my truth with you, or that word triggered me, this situation's triggered me, that song triggered me, this outfit triggered me, etc., etc. In a way, words like gaslighting seem to now just invoke an irritated eye roll because they've just lost all meaning altogether because it's been so overused and misused in society. It's just one of those words that I find people don't take seriously anymore. However, a big part of your 20s is navigating the complexities of relationships, friendships, coworkers, roommates, and so much more. We've probably all been gaslit by people in our lives in a minor or subconscious way. But before we go throwing around accusations, let's just talk about what it actually means to gaslight someone. It seems this colloquialism just popped up in modern culture one day about 7 years ago, and we all went crazy over it, pun intended. Finally, women predominantly, let's be honest, I'm sure men have been gaslit, but I think women can relate to this a little bit more, just with the power dynamics and structures in society. Women had a poignant term to describe this never-ending frustration that they were feeling in their toxic relationships. Finally, like a word I can use, I can hang on to, I can share with my friends to describe this thing I've been going through or we've all been collectively going through. So people took it and they ran with it. However, did you know that the term gaslight actually derives from the 1938 thriller play by the same name? If you did, love that for you. The play is set in 1880s London, so Victorian London. However, like I said, it was written in the 1930s, so it's set back. It was written by the British novelist and playwright Patrick Hamilton. Hamilton's play is a dark tale of a marriage based on deceit and trickery, and a husband committed to driving his wife insane with psychological manipulation in order to steal from her. Many refer to this play as the play that defined both toxic masculinity and domestic emotional abuse for upcoming generations to continue to build upon these ideas and this terminology. According to the Seattle Times, after Gaslight premiered on the London stage in 1938, it became a Broadway hit in 1944 and was then known as Angel Street. In the same year, Ingrid Bergman starred in the Hollywood film, perhaps the best-known incarnation of the Gaslight story. Guardian.com describes how in the play, Jack Manningham, who is the main character, manipulates and undermines his wife. Those are key words. Notice all these words I'm saying here. Deceit, trickery, manipulation, undermining, just keep those in mind. Jack Manningham manipulates and undermines his wife, Bella, in ways that all women can relate to in generations before or since the inception of this play. His temper and moods will fluctuate. He would dismiss her, belittle her, made her feel like she was going purposefully mad by dimming or turning the lights off in the home. So he also leads her to believe that she's been stealing objects and hearing things that aren't there. Seeing as lights would be predominantly gas-based in the Victorian era, like picture a gas lamp, when the play is set, you can see where the name of the play comes from, because that is his main form of manipulation, is to dim the lights or turn off the lights around the homestead. Artistic director Teresa Thuman, sorry girly, don't know how to pronounce your last name, describes gaslighting on a broader scale as the kind of structural and systemic behaviors that can make people doubt their own sense of what is true and obvious. Anyone who has experienced oppression and marginalization is told that it's their problem that they see something differently. It's true with climate change, it's true with our government systems and financial systems. These are things that we see very clearly, but we're given all kinds of reasons not to believe what we see. Now, let's go into a more intimate experience of one-on-one gaslighting that can constitute emotional and psychological abuse. The Canadian Women's Foundation explains gaslighting as difficult to recognize at first, but it generally refers to a pattern of manipulation where the gaslighter attempts to make the person they are victimizing doubt themselves and their grasp on reality. While it's common for people to disagree over different perceptions of an issue or an event, gaslighters repeatedly make the person they are abusing feel at fault, blaming them for being perhaps too sensitive or irrational. The Canadian Women's Foundation continues, "The gaslighter promises something, then doesn't follow through, and says the person they gaslit must have imagined what was said. Over time, it can be used to undermine and weaken someone, leaving them vulnerable and easier to control. This pattern can take an immense toll on a person's confidence, sense of self, and competence. Again, I just want to reiterate certain key words here. It's a pattern, repetitive pattern. It's a thoughtful, premeditated way of lining something up and watching the consequences of that manipulation play out. Like it says, it's common for people to disagree over different perceptions of an event or issue. Like, I thought you were mad at me. And the person's like, no, I wasn't. I was just in a bad mood. No, but you were mad at me. I could tell. No, I really was just overtired in a bad mood. That's not gaslighting. That's just agreeing to disagree on a situation or a perception or a memory. No, it was a green shirt you were wearing. No, I'm positive it was a red shirt. No, it was green. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was red. Not gaslighting. But these are the situations, I swear to God, where people will say, you're gaslighting me. You're making me feel crazy. You're gaslighting me. It's not as lighthearted as that, guys. Like, this is like a cruel, systemic, long form. It's like a long haul tactic to slowly, slowly crush someone's confidence and sense of self. And that's just what I feel like has gotten really lost in the mix. When gaslighting most often occurs between intimate, close relationships like romantic couples, parents and children, friends, it is also possible to gaslight yourself as well. And I'm sure we've all been there in one form or another. And fortunately, it often does come from traumatic experiences, like, let's say, a sexual assault or some sort of harassment or a very scary situation, maybe abuse in a relationship or in your childhood. We can feel internalized shame or guilt. And, you know, through that, be encouraged to gaslight ourselves into believing thoughts that are simply not true, like, I asked for it when you didn't, or it's my fault for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or maybe I said something that encouraged them and I'm not remembering it, or maybe, you know, whatever, just like falsifying the truth to try to justify something that has no fair justification because it's just a shitty, fucking awful thing that happened. But the human brain seeks rationality and seeks facts and seeks justification because it just makes life more tolerable. So sometimes we can torture ourselves further by creating our own false narratives when the truth is something bad just happened for no good reason. The Mind Geek, who is a psychologist, I believe, but her Instagram is called The Mind Geek, created a post on Instagram that details a few useful and simple responses to use when you are being gaslit. So these five responses are: 1, we remember things differently. 2, if you continue to speak to me like this, I'm not engaging with you. 3, I hear what you're saying, but that isn't my experience. 4, I know my truth and I'm not debating it with you. And 5, I will be stepping away from this conversation. All of these sentences essentially suggest that you disengage and step away from the conversation, which is denying that person the satisfaction of getting a rise out of you and just basically showing them that you know your own brain and you are not easily swayed. Other recommendations for handling gaslighting, particularly if it happens at work or even in an abusive relationship where potentially you're going to have to seek custody battles and stuff like that one day, is to document the incidents, keep some sort of log, what happened, when it happened, the details, so that you're not solely relying on memory, because as we know, memory is really fallible and really subjective, and your memory does degrade and change over time. You can also share the situation with a trusted person who you really value, you know, their intelligence, their mindset, and you can kind of put the situation past them and be like, am I crazy here? Am I in the wrong? And see what they have to say and get their perspective on it. This only really works if it's like a person you trust and a person you genuinely think is, you know, smart and competent and has a good understanding of what's right and what's wrong. I mean, you can't go talk to the devil about the evil in your life and expect him to give you good advice, you know? So obviously, and then it suggests that you seek professional support to rebuild your confidence and kind of be able to see outside of your own relationship with a little bit more clarity. Those are all really helpful, and I just wanted to offer a few recommendations if you do feel like maybe you're being gaslit. But with that being said, I think it's important to note that not every uncomfortable or toxic situation or unfavorable conversation between two people is an example of gaslighting. If someone simply calls you out on something or disagrees with you, that's not really gaslighting. someone asked for clarification on your opinion or perception of events because they do not remember it that way or they do not understand what you're trying to say, that's not gaslighting. Someone's gossiping about you behind your back, that's also not really gaslighting. Gaslighting entails the intentional and deliberate manipulation of an abuser to sow repetitive seeds of doubt in their victim's sense of reality to leave them feeling confused. This is often motivated from a need for power or control, to make you doubt your own mind and your own intelligence so that you become even more susceptible to their whims and what they think and what they feel and what their suggestions are. You're going to just become their little doll. And that way they can take advantage of you because you no longer know your own self and your own power. It is often hard to see that you are being gaslit in the moment. Unfortunately, it's one of those things I feel that you tend to identify months or years later when you're more removed from the situation or the person. I can now often tell, you know, through an annoying amount of experience, when a romantic partner is attempting to gaslight me on a small scale. You know, the biggest example for me is men making promises they can't keep, like AKA, you know, saying you're going to move to Canada and you want to marry me one day and getting a visa and all of that, only to disappear and ghost. And then when I say, like, are you still moving here? Is that still the plan? You act as if that was never the plan. And I'm crazy. And why would I even think that? And of course, I'm not going to come to Canada. Like, what are you talking about? That is gaslighting. That was like a one-time situation, if that makes sense. And I see it more as just a man being dumb and immature and kind of selfish and not being able to properly communicate or express their doubts, or like a little kid, just like, I'm gonna lie and hope that nobody questions me on this lie because I don't really want to deal with this. I don't know if that's gaslighting in the sense where it's not a repetitive, systemic attempt to make me. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I feel like a one-time situation with a dumb guy. I used to constantly say, that person gaslight me, that person gaslight me, that person gaslight me. I would like throw this term around all over the place. I've really become more conscientious of using terms like abuse, trauma, boundaries, gaslighting, because they just, when I hear other people use them improperly, it kind of annoys me. So I'm like, oh, I should probably look into that as well. So something though, like traumas and boundaries, really does involve you, like your experience, your limitations, your reaction to things. It's more personal. If someone says their trauma is their trauma, you can't really debate that with them. Someone says, this is my boundary and I'm sticking to it, you can't really debate that with them. But when they start saying, I'm now putting this boundary on you and you have to follow it or else you're not obeying me, that's an attempt at control. If you start saying, you traumatized me in this way and this way and now this is your punishment, that's an attempt at control. And gaslighting is also an attempt at control. So there's a difference between gaslighting yourself, for example, and being gaslit by another person. Gaslighting yourself is something you really do need to work through yourself and create your own positive cycle of affirmations to remind yourself of the reality of the situation. But being gaslit by someone else, that's a separate thing. So I think we just need to create like a little bit more distinction about what this actually means, because I've been called a gaslighter very unfairly. I've called other people a gaslighter unfairly now that I look back. And it's actually like a really big accusation. You're basically calling someone cruel, manipulative, like kind of evil, like plotting, sort of like a trickster, like a nasty person. Like it's like, like when you really look at the history of it and where the term came from, like it's really a big accusation. So I just think that that needs to be said. And I'm not trying to gaslight you into thinking that you haven't been gaslit. Like I said, we've probably all been gaslit many a times in either a small form or a big form. But I do think there's a difference between more of like a subconscious attempt at like regaining like what this guy did to me. Not okay, not justifying it, awful. But I think that was more of like this panicked subconscious attempt to regain his own ego or his own power. And I don't think it had as much to do with me as much as it had to do with him, if that makes sense. So yeah, like, while there's definitely situations I can think of where maybe I gaslit someone by accident or they gaslit me on a smaller scale, I personally don't see it as a premeditated attempt to destroy me and destroy my sanity and destroy my livelihood, and nor would I have ever done that to someone else. So I think we just need to check ourselves when it comes to that. Yes, sometimes people can be annoying and a bit toxic and a bit frustrating and make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that they are a premeditated asshole, if that makes sense. That's like giving someone sometimes too much credit than they deserve, if we're being honest. So it's a serious accusation, as I said, to call someone a gaslighter. You're essentially calling that person a intentionally cruel and abusive person. So although it's catchy and popular and kind of fun to say in this modern vernacular where we've really desensitized the word, I would recommend thinking twice before you throw that term around at someone. Think back to the systemic tricks and treachery in Bella and Jack's marriage in the play, and you can kind of use that as a reference point for assessing behaviors of gaslighting. So I'm not saying that you're not being gaslit. Again, I'm not trying to completely mess up the whole point of this episode. But if you are, of course, I truly hope that you get the help you need and the support you need and you're able to leave the situation. But I just do think we should dive a little deeper with these commonly misused words and phrases that do stem from sort of this therapy culture, like oversensitive cancel culture that we live in, where people do seek victimhood and people really feel comfortable living in their victimhood, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it can go too far. And, you know, and I'm guilty of it too. I think we all are. You know, we were all maybe a little too comfortable playing the victim these days in certain ways, when a situation could really just be a little more simple, and not everything is underlined with wicked intentions, is what I'm trying to say. But there are some crazy evil fucks out there. I know that. You don't have to convince me. And abuse is very real and gaslighting is very real. I'm just saying, we need to, for the sake of those people who are actually being gaslit and are actually in abusive relationships and psychologically tormented by people in their lives, we need to leave space for that to be its own serious thing and not dilute it by just using those terms all the time in like day-to-day situations. And yeah, let me know if you guys like this episode. I really want to do more like this, especially when it comes to words like boundaries, toxic, all that stuff. Kind of maybe digging more into the vernacular of being in your 20s and the 2020s, what people are saying, what people aren't saying, how these conversations are going. I mean, I studied English literature and I obviously love language. In another life, I kind of wish I went into linguistics or something, because I just find it fascinating, the development of language and the consequences of language. So let me know if you guys like this or not. It's something a little different. But I think hopefully you'll be able to get something out of this, even if it was just a fun fact or something like that. This is a quick episode, but I think it will have a little punch to it, which is always what we want. I'll be back at some point before Christmas, for sure, for another episode. Hopefully I'll have some more guests on. I have a few things lined up for some guests, some fan favorites, and some new people, and just keep things rocking and rolling into 2024, and hopefully see a lot more growth and maybe some reinvention, some rebranding, and just take things in a little bit of a new direction in 2024. So that's kind of my plan. So yeah, I love you guys so much. I hope you stay safe. I hope you're enjoying life and beating the winter blues. I love you so much. Bye.